Welcome to the Small Business Miracles Podcast. I'm Jeff Randolph. This Small Business Podcast is brought to you by EAG Advertising and Marketing. We're going to talk about marketing, and we're also here to celebrate entrepreneurs by diving into their stories. Today, this is another instance where the call is coming from inside the house. The call is coming from inside the house. Because today I'm joined by Chief Public Relations Officer Ryan Girding, and he's Chief Public Relations Officer at EAG. Hey, that's new. You see, EAG recently acquired Inc. Inc. Public Relations, giving us even more power in the public relations offering, but also it helps us skate to where the puck is going to be in AI-powered search engine optimization. So if you're ready, let's bring Ryan Girding into the conversation and find out what's going on in the world of PR.
Talk about strategies and all the capabilities, building all your hopes, dreams, and all the possibilities. It ain't rocket surgery, but maybe it is. Come on down, we're gonna sit around. We're gonna get into your business. Get into your business. Get into your business.
Welcome back to the Small Business Miracles Podcast. My name's Jeff Randolph. We are here to celebrate entrepreneurs and talk about marketing on this show, and I can't think of a better marketing person to have than one of the newest people to join EAG. I am here talking with Ryan Girding, Chief Public Relations Officer at EAG Advertising and Marketing. That's a statement I have not ever been able to make before this moment. Ryan, welcome to the show.
It is wonderful to be here with you, and it is wonderful to be at EAG. It's fun after 22 years at the same job being the new guy.
Yeah, that's right. I think we grandfathered you in on a few like seniority things, like a parking spot even, which is, you know, I'm just going to sit over here with my almost a decade of work here, and I'll still just not have that parking spot. Thanks for that. Appreciate that. Welcome to EAG. Welcome to the podcast. It's all of those things. And I'll set this conversation up by saying that we are going to come back and talk more. This is the first of what I expect to be several different conversations as more people are interested in why we would do such a thing, why we would join forces, why we would want to have an even more robust public relations kind of capacity here, and that has a lot to do with AI and search engine optimization. But before we get there, let's have a different conversation. Let's start the whole festivities with understanding that we have had that PR capacity in our time, but now this is greatly expanding it. And I wanted to get a sense of you know, the kind of work that you were doing when you were at Inc. and what you've brought to the table, what we now have the capability to do, and really greatly expand that service offering. So let me just start and say, give us just a little bit of background about who you are and what you do. Maybe that's it. Because you, if we start with the personal side, you've had a long career in media as well. Like you're no stranger to an anchor desk, even. Like you've been there.
That is correct. So I graduated from the University of Missouri Journalism School, oldest and best journalism school in the country. Go Tigers.
Thank you for that. Alienated half of the audience right now.
There are great journalists who graduated from other great programs.
That's true.
So graduated in 1995 and then spent 8 years as a local reporter and videographer and anchor in markets like Columbia, Missouri, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, Sacramento, California, and then Lafayette, Indiana, where I was a morning anchor for a couple of years. I was the guy who had to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and put the makeup on and be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed for the folks when I wasn't.
I've noticed that the morning anchors are typically more bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and smile more than afternoon and evening anchors do. Is that fair? Is that just something I've noticed? Because by the time you hit the evening news, the world has weighed you down.
Yeah, I think so. And you know, you've got to be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed because you know most of your audience isn't.
That's right. It's absolutely true. So you've worked with at Inc. Then you were there for how long?
After working as a journalist for 8 years, I then spent the next 22 years working at Inc. Incorporated Public Relations.
Yeah, Inc. PR. So the kinds of clients you've had, because public relations is an a tactic that can be used across a variety of clients. And so it's B2B, it's B2C, it's nonprofit. There's no limitation to who can benefit from public relations. So I understand that. Let's make sure everyone else has a level set there too. But you really worked across the spectrum, right? There wasn't a specific kind of client that you gravitate toward.
Yeah, what we like to say is that we're not experts on any particular type of client or any particular type of industry. We're experts in the media, in understanding what it is that's going to make a reporter, a producer, or editor decide that the thing that you just put across their desk is the most important thing to them at that moment, and that will make them a hero in front of their bosses.
Yeah. Well, and I, like, from my days back in let's call it an agency long ago, I got to watch a news assignment editor flip through public relations, like press release type things, and do it at such breakneck speed that I thought, oh, I'm going to have to change everything about the way I'm pitching this information. So yeah, it has come a long way since then, but at the heart of it, it's the story. You want to make sure there's a good pitch.
It is. It's the story, and it's approaching those journalists in a respectful way, and in a way that is relevant to them. You would not believe the hundreds of emails that journalists get from PR people every single day. And so many of them are people who just put a list together of 500 journalists and sent them the exact same press release or the exact same pitch, even if it wasn't necessarily relevant to them or to their audience or to their outlet. It was just they were completing a task and saying, well, we got that out there.
We sure published that.
Right. And that's what we as PR people then have to fight against, is figuring out a way to make the pitch that we send cut through all of that noise by delivering something that's relevant and timely and interesting to that outlet, that journalist, and their audience.
Can we dive into some examples really quick and talk about some of the work that you've done that would showcase, I don't know, maybe let's start with I've looked at all of your portfolio, of course, because I know what's going on over there. Pearl Holmes, if we start with Pearl Holmes, because you were able to get a lot of different kinds of coverage for them. You were able to get a lot of very valuable stories. Tell us more about that whole, I don't know, the client and what you were able to do.
Yeah. So Pearl Holmes, they build eco-friendly homes in Florida. There's a subdivision called Hunter's Point that is filled with homes that run on solar power, that generate more electricity than they actually use, and that are built in incredibly sustainable and environmentally friendly ways. They actually spent 18 months building a house inside of a warehouse and testing it to make sure that it was the peak of energy efficiency. It was the first net zero housing development in the country, which meant that, they're the electricity that they used was less than the electricity that they created. And they pushed themselves or talked about how they could be seen as not necessarily a hurricane-proof home, because there's no such thing as a hurricane-proof home, but certainly one that could withstand hurricanes, could withstand the vagaries of weather brought about by climate change. And about a year ago, a little more than a year ago, hurricanes hit Florida. And the home stood. They received very little damage, and the lights stayed on. And
so, bonus, yeah.
As a result of that, we were able to get lots of coverage for the actual performance that they had, but then for the broad story idea that home builders are now having to think about making homes that can withstand what happens when climate change happens, and having to think about that in real time. And so we were able to get them coverage in the Wall Street Journal and Business Insider. Even CNN came out and did a profile on them, because it was such a unique approach. But there were actual real results that they were able to point to and say, it actually works.
If you can grab Jim Cantore's attention and go, oh, look, the lights are still on over there. That's saying something. He's always going to be where it's worst.
So absolutely.
That's a thing. And so amazing coverage across the board for that and for several different aspects of that kind of community that they were building. Maybe a different one that I was going to ask about, because I wasn't sure about what this organization did, the mouth and foot painting artists. Tell me about that.
Yes, this is a favorite of mine. So mm-hmm. Mouth and Foot Painting Artists is an organization that provides real income to incredibly talented artists across the United States and around the world who either because of birth or because of an accident don't have use of their hands. And they are able to create absolutely stunning works of art by holding a paintbrush either in their mouth or in their toes with their feet. And just incredible, incredible artwork. And this is not a nonprofit. It's a for-profit organization, and they're proud of that. But they provide income to these artists who create holiday cards, calendars, puzzles, books that people can buy. And again, you look at the artwork, and it is just absolutely stunning. And the stories of these artists is mm-hmm. what really gets the media's attention. The the challenges obviously that they had growing up, or because of an accident that may have left them without the use of their hands, and just their ability to persevere, and what this organization was able to make it so that these artists could do, provide them income so that they can continue to improve as artists, provide them income so that they don't need to rely on government assistance, provide them income so that they can really thrive doing the thing that they love. And because of that, we've been able to get some really nice media coverage for them, and fortunately help them sell a lot of products to help those artists.
Yeah, that connection to selling a lot of products is a good one, because it isn't just about saying, hey, we have a calendar that we sell. It's diving deeper into the story and understanding what is the hook that's going to make a journalist and sometimes a very specific journalist go, yeah, that's a profile that I'd like to do. Because you were able to get coverage. It isn't just saying, hey, this calendar is out there, you should go buy this calendar and support these people. The kind of media attention you've been able to get for them are all very human interest stories that go deeper than just the, you know, calendar. But the calendar is always, you know, present in those stories. It's amazing the way that works.
Exactly, exactly. And because of the nature of the account and the artists, it certainly lends itself to television, a very visual medium, and seeing these artists actually at work creating these amazing pieces is just, it's really compelling. And it's how we got them on CBS Sunday Morning, which I consider the holy grail of media coverage.
That is true.
But then also lots of local coverage in local markets where those artists live. And it's been just incredibly inspirational and rewarding to work with those folks.
Outstanding. Yeah, I do remember posting something on our social media about the mouth and foot painting artists and the most recent story that we were able to get for them. Bang up job. Well done.
Thank you, sir.
Well done. Let me switch to just one other topic before we close this first kind of interview out. And that's the model, because you famously have been going into a pay for performance model rather than just kind of the traditional hourly, we spent this amount of time on the project and we either got something or we didn't get something for you. Tell me about the pay for performance model.
Yeah, the founder of Inc. often said that PR firms get hired for a lot of reasons, but they get fired for one, and it's that you didn't get me coverage in the outlets that I wanted to be in. And so the pay for performance model rewards you, the PR firm, for delivering what it is that the clients want. And so that is what that means is a chunk of the compensation that clients pay is based on whether or not we actually secure coverage. So the more coverage we get, the more they pay in a given month. The less coverage we get, the less they pay in a given month.
It's incentive based almost to put it into more of a modern marketing angle. So that pay for performance model still continues here at EAG as part of that. We're excited to offer that to everybody because it is a differentiator. It is something that stands out in that traditional public relations world where, you know, it's. We want to reward getting the feature in CBS Sunday Morning because that is the holy grail and one of many potential holy grails that are out there.
Yeah, and I think it fits well with what EAG does with all of its other marketing services. So much of what we do is data-based and right, we're able to show clients, here's how your web traffic increased, or here's how, you know, requests for information increase, or here's how sales increase because of the SEO work that we do, because of the blogs that we do, because of the advertising that we do. And so a pay-for-performance model just makes sense.
Yeah, we know that when you combine awareness-based advertising, when you combine an awareness-based tactic like public relations with ongoing marketing programs, you get out of that, you know, I got one story one time and here's what it did or didn't do for me. You extend that life. You leverage that story and that placement over many months or years to potentially, so that you're really getting more out of that. And so we know the two work together. It's like two great tastes that taste great together. Your chocolate and my peanut butter. What chaos ensues if we don't do this thing right. So we will talk more about that. We will talk more about leveraging your media relations efforts. We're going to talk about SEO and the AI influence on search engine optimization and how journalistic media mentions are really important to that now. And that's what we know right now. So keep watching this space. We'll come back and we're going to talk more with Ryan. But for today, Ryan, I'm going to say thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
And that is our show. Hey, thanks for Ryan Girding to be here with us today. We really appreciate that. He had to walk feet to get to the recording studio, so appreciate that long commute. And thank you for listening to the Small Business Miracles podcast. Remember to subscribe, leave us a 5-star rating and review, drop us a line on the website at eagadv.com if you have any thoughts. Until then, we'll be out here helping entrepreneurs with another Small Business Miracle.
Talk about strategies and all the capabilities, building all your hopes, dreams, and all the possibilities. It ain't rocket surgery, but maybe it is. Come on down, we're gonna sit around. We're gonna get into your business. Get into your business.